Father, we thank you again for the entrance of your word brings light and gives understanding to the simple. We pray, Lord, that you give us the garment of prayer even as we go into prayers this morning. Give the Lord the praise and the glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Let's talk about prayer for just a few minutes. Because, you know, that's what we're going to do. Why is prayer so important? You know, especially when you're starting off your day. I know that some of you are already in the afternoon time, but that's okay. But as we start out our day, why is prayer so important? You know, the first thing I want to call to our attention is what we find the Lord, you know, asking Job in the book of Job, chapter 38. There are many things, you know, that the Lord asked Job in that chapter. Many things. One of them is whether, you know, Job has, since his days, been able to command the morning and also cause the day spring to know his place. So let me read just a couple of verses to us in the book of Job, chapter 38. There's some powerful questions. I'm sure everybody knows the background to that conversation between the Lord and Job. But we'll pick up this series of questions that God is asking Job, you know, here in verse 12 of Job chapter 38. Say, hast thou commanded the morning since thy days? And have you caused the day spring to know his place, that it may take hold of the ends of the earth? You know, that even the wicked might be shaken out of it. Well, so by God asking Job this question, we actually learn quite a few things. It's a, you know, couple of short verses, but there's quite a few things we might learn from here. Number one, you know, we learn that it's actually possible to command the morning. We learn that. Because God's asking Job if he has done it. Well, if he couldn't have done it, why would he be asking him if he has done it? We also see that, you know, we can actually do something about the day spring. You know, when the day starts out and the day springs forth, what are you going to do about it? You know, he said that it might take hold of the ends of the earth, that the wicked might be shaken out of it. That last part is what we're going to focus on. By doing this early in the morning, the beginning of the day, say, he called it morning, you can actually cause wickedness to move out of your way. That's right. You know, so we are going to talk about that. In another place, you go down a little bit to verse 33 of this same chapter and you read another question. It's a whole bunch of things that God was asking Job. Knowest thou the ordinances of heaven? And canst thou set the dominion thereof in the earth? Again, by God asking Job these questions, we actually learn that there are certain things, you know, I mean, certain things that happen upon the earth, the way things happen on the earth can actually be ordered and governed. Governed is the correct word. Governed by the ordinances of heaven. So, ordinances of heaven can have dominion over various things that are happening upon the earth. We learn that. You know, many other things that we learn in these scriptures, we're going to use, you know, some of them, you know, to pray for ourselves. Earlier in the verse, we read in verse 31, "Canst thou bind the sweet influences of Pleiades, or loose the bands of Orion? Canst thou bring forth Maseroth in his season, or canst thou guard Arcturus with his sons?" You know? So, these are constellations and various things that are out there. And the Lord's telling Job that there's a lot of things you don't know. In fact, the way the Lord started this was, you know, challenging Job, because Job started out very well handling the tragedies in his life until his friends started to get on his case. And then he himself started to question, question the day he was born and question some other things and so on and so forth. And God had to ask him these questions, you know. So we're going to, we're going to do something today, lift up our voices in prayer. And I want to remind us that when we started this daily platform, some of you might have been there or not, or joined along the way, there are a couple of things, and that's why we always go back to it. A couple of things that the Lord, gave us a charge about doing. One was that the priest must bring wood every morning and lay it upon the altar. That's Leviticus chapter 6, verses 12, 13, and so on. It told us that the fire must not go out. You know, we got to keep that fire burning all the time. And so that's why, by the grace of God, we do it and come in here every morning, lay wood upon the fire, upon the altar, and crank up that fire, you know. And so, you know, that's one thing that the Lord commanded. And if you think about it, you know, it is the Lord that has given the grace for us to do this. And so every morning, by the grace of God, we've tried to come in here and do exactly that. Lay the wood on the altar, crank up the fire, and keep the fire burning, because that's what the Lord said, you know. And then, of course, you know, that was one thing. And then the Lord also said that, you know, something we should take advantage of in the womb of the morning, you know. And what is the womb of the morning? Well, the mere fact that the scripture uses the word womb here, Psalm 110 verse 3, is what the Lord gave us, you know, in the womb of the morning. That tells you that, you know, that morning is pregnant. And so if it's pregnant, well, it's got to bring forth something. So we're not going to sit back and just let the morning bring forth anything it wants, right? So we're going to have to influence it by all these other scriptures that we've read, like, you know, the ordinances of heaven. Can you command the morning? Can you cause the day spring to know its place? And so on and so forth. So we're actually going to step in there and, you know, and make sure that the morning does not just bring forth trouble, that brings forth pleasantness. Jesus, one time, you know, they were accusing his disciples of doing something that they shouldn't be doing on the Sabbath day, because they went through the fields cornfields and they were plucking corn. Jesus himself wasn't doing it, but he didn't stop them either. And so, you know, they challenged his disciples and said, why is it that you're letting your, you know, disciples do that, which was not, I mean, which is not lawful on the Sabbath day? You can read that story in Mark chapter 2. It's also in Matthew 12, you know. And Jesus said unto them, he said, well, the Sabbath was made for man, that's Mark 2:27, and not man for the Sabbath. Well, but from this we deduce that if the Sabbath, which is considered, you know, a special day, was made for us, then every other day was made for us as well. We were not made for, you know, these days. That means, and Jesus said, therefore the Son of Man is Lord also of the Sabbath. That means every day must be subject to us as well. I mean, we put all these arguments together in our mind and you use that, you know, in prayer, you know, when you want to direct certain things to happen, and you say, well, I mean, who can really do that? Listen to this, Psalm 110, say, thy people shall be willing in the day of thy power. Let's call every day the day of his power. You know, don't think of it as some season that is carved out somewhere. Just think of it every day. You know, even in the beauties of holiness, you know, beginning from the womb of the morning, some certain things happen. You know, we can renew our youth by the decrees that we make and the things that we do in the womb of the morning. They said, well, you know, we have the dew of youth. So the same psalmist, he said, the Lord renews my youth, satisfy my mouth with good things in Psalm 103. So we see that these things, even though they are simple statements, can be very, very powerful. We can take advantage of these things. And Jesus himself, you know, he knew this, and he gave examples like this, because, for instance, in Mark chapter 1, verse 35, we see that it says, and in the morning, Jesus, rising up a great while before day, you know, while others were still sleeping, great while before the day broke, he went out and departed into a solitary place and there prayed. Well, why was it that Jesus did things like that? Well, first of all, that's what we must be doing, because he showed us the example. And because Jesus came in the form of man, in his human form, he needed to pray. And he showed us before his day would start, you know, he would go out and pray. Before he would choose his disciples, he would go out and pray. And I, you know, did some things in the morning, went back and prayed in the evening, and then early in the morning again, he went back and prayed. I mean, it was always a personal prayer. And his disciples, you know, sometimes they'd be looking for him. They'd find him and say, we know you are praying, so teach us how we ought to pray as well. You know, I want to say that our natural, you know, flesh does not like the presence of God, you know. In fact, the Bible tells us that the flesh and the spirit, they are contrary to each other. You know, so when the spirit wants to go one way, the flesh wants to go a different way. And the flesh doesn't like the presence of God too much. Galatians chapter 5 verse 16 says, you know, the flesh and the spirit are contrary one to the other. Yeah, contrary. So when the spirit is prompting us to pray, the flesh doesn't want to do it. The contrary. You know, and the things of the flesh, if we're not careful, the flesh will grieve that spirit. But the way to feed the spirit, one of the ways, apart from, of course, reading the scriptures, walking in the spirit, is prayer. Jesus was always showing us that. In fact, he told his disciples, pray, lest you enter into temptation. Well, they were sleeping. Their eyes were heavy. Granted that they were sorrowful, but they should have prayed. James would later write and say, look, if any man is sorrowful, if any man is grieved in his spirit, let him pray. You know, in James chapter 5. So if there are stuff going on, well, let's pray. If you are joyful, sing psalms. Merry, you know, sing psalms, sing hymns and so forth. But if you are heavy, if you are distressed, have anything bothering you, well, pray. You know, that's the prescription that the scriptures give us. But I want to talk to us a little bit today about more reasons why we ought to pray even before we get stressed out. You know, because the scriptures tell us, we read this in the book of Proverbs. You know, we read Proverbs chapter 22, and we read how it says in prudent man, verse 3, foreseeth the evil. So that evil that the prudent man is able to foresee and hide himself for it, many times we can learn from that verse that it is actually possible to escape evil by being prayerful. Prayerful in the spirit. God can show us things and we can pray about things, even things we don't understand. And by that method, we can actually escape many things. So a lot of adversities happen to people from time to time. We may not be able to escape all of them, but we most certainly can be better prepared through prayer. This same Proverbs 22 and 3 is repeated in Proverbs 27 and 12. A prudent man foreseeth the evil and hideth himself. You know, but the simple pass on and are punished. So you fall into a lot of things if you don't know how to pray. Or let's put it this way. You can escape some things if you know how to pray. Now, in Proverbs chapter 1, verse 17, we learn also a secret. He said, look, if you're trying to set a trap for a bird, and you're doing it when the bird is looking, the bird is not going to fall for that trap because it sees what you're doing. Surely in vain is the net spread in the sight of any bird. You know, so that also tells us in a roundabout way, there are spiritual connotations to many of these things. It means that just like the prudent man that foreseeth the evil, the bird can see it and it will hide itself. It will be clean escaped. Now, if you can see it, the Lord can show it to you, or you can pray about it ahead of time. You may actually escape many things. You know, so this is the reason why every so often, even in this room, we know we do it in our personal lives and so on, but even on this room, you know, in this room when we get together, every so often we make it a day of prayer, you know, and just build up our spiritual defenses like that. You know, there are some other, you know, things for us to learn about spiritual defenses. Well, let's talk about it. First of all, what's a spiritual defense? I mean, we know what natural defense systems are. You know, and even in our body, the way God put this body together, put some, you know, natural defense systems in there. And then in our regular natural world, we have defense systems that we try to build. You know, when you lock your door and fasten it, that's a defense system. If you know that, you know, thieves are rampant in your neighborhood, then you're not going to leave your goods outside. If you've heard that, you know, people are going around picking, especially in the, you know, during the holiday seasons and so forth, you know, packages are being sent back and forth and people wander around neighborhoods and try to steal those things. Well, a defense system that we use sometimes, make sure you don't leave valuables outside. Bring them in quickly, fasten your doors, don't leave your door open. I mean, these are defense systems, you know. And then some people will go an extra way, extra, you know, mile or whatever, and build even more defense systems. You know, people put up gates in front of their doors, you know, and sometimes heavy gates, you know, it's a defense system. You know, as a deterrent. It may not prevent everything, but it's a deterrent. The would-be breaker, I mean, would-be person that wants to break into your house, the robber, the thief, and so forth, that wants to break in, if they see all these heavy gates, they may just move on down to the next house. It may not necessarily always prevent them from coming in. They may look, try to look for another, but it's a deterrent. You see all the heavy gates and so forth. They move on to the next house, you know. So it's a deterrent. Those are defense systems. Those are even natural defense systems. You know, in our health care, we use the defense systems. We are told to eat right and so forth, and do the right thing for yourself, get the right sunshine and all of that, or vitamin D or this and that. And if you're not eating well, for whatever reason, you know, take some supplements and so forth, you know, and don't expose yourself to areas where you can, you know, catch something. You know, people are sneezing, coughing, doing all these things around you, wear a mask and so on. I mean, these are defense systems that we use in the natural. Well, what about spiritual then? We ought to be able to learn defense systems in spiritual. One of the easiest, although hardest, easy in the sense that, I mean, it's right there with you. You can use it at any time. But it's the hardest is a prayer life that can dive deep in, you know, deep into the spiritual realm. Now, I'm not talking about superficial prayers now. Or the, some people say microwave prayer. You just go in there 1 minute or 2 minutes and you're out of there. No, that's not. That may do some things, but it may not always get the job done. There are some times when we got to, you know, really get in there, agonize in prayer. There are some long prayers that were recorded that Jesus prayed in the Bible. I don't think he would have prayed that prayer for a minute, like John chapter 17. There was some contending prayer that Elijah prayed when he was, you know, waiting for the promise of the rain. Even though God already promised it, he still had to earnestly contend for that promise in prayer. I mean, these are examples that we see throughout the Bible. And he prayed earnestly. Nothing was showing up. Kept sending his servant to go check it out. And he prayed some more. Nothing was showing up. For 7 times he did that. And kept praying. Why do you need to pray when God already promised it? Well, that's exactly when you need to pray. You know, because the devil, if he has anything to do about it, he's going to make sure you don't get that promise. You know, we see this all the time in the scriptures. If the moment that Jesus says, let us pass on to the other side, then the devil is going to bring all kinds of wind and storm and tempest and blow it against that boat just to make sure you don't get to the other side like Jesus said. I mean, so our own responsibility will be a life of prayer. And people that panic in the face of apparent danger is an indication I mean, not just small panic. I mean, our body is wired, you know, like that, to be afraid, you know, of evil. It's part of the self-preservation that God wired into this body. That way you're not just foolhardy or careless. But excessive panic might be an indication of life that is prayerless, because we see the Mark chapter 4 story. We see the difference of Jesus's posture versus the disciples. And Jesus was sleeping, you know, through the storm, and he intended to sleep through all of the storm. The others panicked. Now, the difference is Jesus would have gotten up early in the morning and prayed through whatever would happen that day. And he was confident, because he already prayed. He was confident, he knew what he was doing. Now, these people, on the other hand, they probably were not praying. They were not living the fasting life. In fact, they were happy when Jesus was defending them, because they came and challenged Jesus. Why did the disciples of John and the Pharisees and all these people fast, but yours are always celebrating, always eating all the time? And Jesus defended them. He said, can the children of the bridegroom fast when the bridegroom is with them? No. So these are the children of the bridegroom, and the bridegroom is with them, so they are not fasting. But when the bridegroom is taken for them, well, they shall fast in those days. So the disciples were happy when Jesus was defending them that they were not fasting. But, you know, unfortunately, there's a cause and effect for everything, right? So, you know, you don't pay the price, you may not be able to get it when you need it. They brought a father brought a son to the disciples in Matthew 17. They couldn't cast out the devil. And later they asked Jesus, why couldn't we do it? Well, Jesus said, number one, because of your unbelief. But number two, you know, certain kinds like this need more prayer and fasting. And because you have not been praying and fasting, so there you have it. You know, so we see the difference. They panicked. I mean, they panicked, but Jesus was sleeping. And when they woke Jesus, said, Master, Master, don't you care that we perish? They woke up and said, hey, what's happening? They said, well, you know, look around you. We're about to perish, this storm. At that time, all the water, I mean, had come into the boat and everything. The thing was rocking from side to side. I mean, the winds were really contrary. So Jesus, because of their fear and their panic, got up and rebuked the wind on the storm. He had no intention of doing that. He was just going to sleep through it. That shows you the impact of a difference between a life that's prayed up and one that isn't. And we can face situations like that in life too. You may be in a plane and suddenly the thing drops. You got into some of these holes, you know, in the air, and just drop suddenly, you know, and everybody panics. All the plane is doing as if it's about to crash. Everybody panics. And that's natural. But when you are prayed up, you know, in the face of that evil, you wouldn't panic. You pray, you know, you're prayed up. And you might actually rebuke that thing. You'd have the confidence to rebuke it. There was something that the Lord said to us in the book of Isaiah. Because some people wonder, I mean, can we really do this? Well, yeah. Can you really command the money? Well, why not? You know, because the Lord said it here in the book of Isaiah chapter 45 and verse 11. Thus saith the Lord, the Holy One of Israel and his Maker, ask me of things to come concerning my sons. That's right. So we can ask. We can pray for one another. God said it right here. It's a wonderful invitation. Now, God is not a teaser. He doesn't tease us. In other words, tell you to ask for something that he had no intention of giving you. That would be that he's teasing us. He already knew he's not going to give it to us. So why is he telling me to ask? That's just like teasing. Okay? So God doesn't do that. If he told us to ask, that means he's going to give. Say, ask and you shall receive. That's what Jesus said, Matthew chapter 7 and verse 7. For everyone that asketh, receiveth, he said. And everyone that seeketh, findeth. And to him that knocketh, it shall be opened. So ask me of things to come concerning my sons. That means, you know, he's going to hearken to your voice when you ask. And concerning the works of my hands. What are the works of his hand? Did God make the day? Did God create the morning? Are these the works of his hands? The sun and the moon, you know, and all these things that God created. Are they the works of his hands? That's a question that we must answer. If you believe that the morning and the day, did God create the day? Did God create the evening and the morning in Genesis? Did God create all these things, you know? If they are the works of his hands, and God said, concerning the works of my hands, command ye me. He said it like that. My goodness. Well, it's not a question. There are some Bible verses that are trying to, Bible versions that are trying to pervert this scripture because they can't believe it can happen and make that a question. There's no question mark here in the King James. It's not a question. It is a statement that God is making, and it's an invitation. It's an admonition for us to do it. You know, but the question is, who can do it though? You know, because, you know, people are afraid. You know, they're afraid to do this. Because they say, well, we can't command, you know, the morning. We can't command the works of God's hands. How can we do it? Well, let's find out what the scripture says about that, because it clearly says here that we can do it. And well, if we think we can't do it, well, that's one of the things that says we are not sanctifying the word of the Lord. Let's read something out of Isaiah chapter 33. Isaiah chapter 33 and verse 14. There's a question here. And there is also a background, you know, for this question. You know, the background says from verse 13, hear ye that are far off what I have done, and ye that are near, acknowledge my might. So it's an invitation to everybody. Whether you are closer to the Lord or even farther away, well, whichever way, there's an invitation here for you to understand and acknowledge God's power. However, people who are not walking in the Spirit, they are afraid. He said the sinners in Zion are afraid. You know, we're not told, you know, why they are afraid here. But if you read the rest of it, you might guess why they are afraid. Because the majority of them consider themselves as sinners. I mean, they don't see themselves as being able to approach unto God. That's why God says some of them can approach. That's why I say some of you are near, some of you are far. It's not all of them, but majority of them, you know, they don't see themselves as being able to approach. So they ask the question because they are afraid. You know, fearfulness has surprised the hypocrites. You know, they have a sense of God, you know, but they deny the power thereof. You know, they have a form of godliness, but they deny the power. So they ask, they say, who among us shall dwell with the devouring fire? Because they know that if you can, if you have a life like that, you can accomplish a lot of things, but they don't feel qualified that they can do it. So they ask the question, who among us can do it? Who among us shall dwell with everlasting burnings? But they know that if you are able to do it, here are all the things that you will get. They themselves answer the question. He that walketh righteously and speaketh uprightly, despised the gain of oppression, and shaketh his hands at holding bread, and stoppeth his ears from hearing of blood, and shutteth his eyes from seeing evil. Now, but they disqualify themselves because in their heart they are afraid. They don't think that they measure up. But for those that they say, well, maybe 1% or less can do it, well, here's what they get. Said he shall dwell on high. You know, the place of his defense. These are his defense systems. That's what we're going to talk about today and pray about. This defense system shall be the munitions of rocks. I mean, rocks are always a, you know, solid form of a fortress. You know, build rocks and build different things like that. His bread also shall be given to his water shall be sure. I mean, somebody that knows how to get in there, get these blessings, but for the most part, people are afraid. You know, the sinners are afraid. Sinners, though. Zion is supposed to be a place. Say the gates of Zion shall be salvation. You know, our streets shall be, you know, praise and all these things. But no, you know, they're afraid. It's the same thing that people do today. When the Lord calls us to a life of righteousness, walking in the integrity of his word and in the spirit, we call ourselves sinners. And, you know, we say, well, we can't do that because, who can do it? We read that the psalmist asks the same question. Who shall ascend? You know, who can dwell, you know, in this devouring fire? Who can have this power to command him at the works of his hands? Who can do it? Well, the psalmist asks the same question. Who shall abide in his tabernacle? Who shall dwell in his holy hill? He that walketh uprightly and walketh righteously and speaketh the truth in his heart, and biteth not with his tongue, Psalm 15. And doeth evil not, you know, his neighbor, not taketh a reproach against his neighbor, and all of these things. You know, so we talked about it. Well, one man one day did not think of himself that he couldn't do it. In fact, he thought of himself as that he could do it. This man was called Joshua. Joshua was a man that used to hang around Moses. In fact, one time when Moses was in the mountain and nobody could go up there, Joshua was at the bottom of the mountain waiting for Moses the whole time. He didn't leave that place. Moses was in the mountain for 40 days and 40 nights. Joshua was at the bottom of the mountain for 40 days and 40 nights. He just waited there. And, when Moses came down, he was the first to see him. And he was always hanging around, you know, like that. And this one day, I mean, he got the charge from Moses that he would be the one to take them in. You know, and this Joshua was a man of valor. Moses had the rod and the staff. Joshua had the sword and the shield and spears. I mean, Joshua is not messing around. You know, if you show up with a sword in your hand, well, Joshua was ready to fight. One day he saw a man, he didn't know it was the angel of the Lord. And he challenged him. He said, look, why are you here? I see a sword in your hand. Are you for us or for our adversaries? Tell me, because right now, you know, if you say you are against us, well, let's go. And the man said, look, I am come as the captain of the Lord's host. Joshua asked him two questions. He answered no to both of them. He said, nay. No, so that means no. I am not come for you, nor am I come against your adversaries, but I am come to carry out my orders. You know, and Joshua was confused about that because he thought, well, you are either for us or against us. You know, the man said, no, I have my orders. You know, whatever those orders are is what I carry out. However, it falls out. If it falls out for your good, so fine. Falls out against your enemies, fine. But I'm here to carry out the Lord's orders. And so, but Joshua, he learned a few things along the way. You know, one day he needed some extra time. You know, and here is how, when they were in this fight in Joshua chapter 10, this thing was going on. They were in this fight, and the sun was going down. you know, upon them, and he needed, you know, he needed a great, you know, he needed something that the Lord will give them a break, give them some extra time in the day. This was in Gibeon and so on. So he come out boldly, and this is almost like what Isaiah was saying, Isaiah 45:11, because he said, command me concerning the works of my hands, you know. So, well, the sun and the moon, they are the works of God's hands. So Joshua spake, Joshua 10:12, to the Lord in the day when the Lord delivered up the Amorites, you know, all these people that they were fighting, before the children of Israel. And he said in the sight of Israel. Now, he did not go to the corner and say it just in case if nothing happens, then nobody knows what he said. You know, he did it boldly in the presence of everybody. He did this thing. And so it will be known whether the Lord will hearken to his words or not, because he didn't hide in the corner to do it. And he said, notice that the scripture says that Joshua spake to the Lord. Well, what exactly did Joshua do? I mean, if you look at what Joshua said here, did he actually speak to the Lord? You know, I mean, the narrative here says that he spoke to the Lord. But what exactly did he do? He actually spoke to the sun and the moon. It wasn't the Lord that he spoke to, because he said to the sun, sun, stand thou still upon Gibeon, and thou moon, the valley of Ajalon. He spoke to the sun, he spoke to the moon, and yet the Bible says that he spoke to the Lord. Well, because those are the works of his hands. That's how you command his work of his hands. You know, if you speak to the sun, if you speak to the moon, you are commanding the works of God's hands. If you speak to the morning of the day, I mean, the womb of the morning, and you speak to the day in the morning, and you can command the morning, you are commanding the works of his hands. Hallelujah. And so Joshua, he said this thing, and listen to what the Bible says. You know, and the sun stood still, the moon stayed, until the people had avenged themselves upon their enemies. And is this not written in the book of Joshua? So the sun stood still in the midst of heaven, and hasted not to go down about a whole day. Science has confirmed this. And there was no day like that before or after it that the Lord hearkened unto the voice of a man. The voice of a man. We're going to lift up our voices here today, and let's see if the Lord will hearken. Now remember, he will hearken, because he said, ask me of things to come. Command ye the works of my hands. And Jesus said, look, the day was made for man, not the other way around. So command the day. Command the womb of the morning. Let this womb be pregnant with good things. Hallelujah. Let's not just leave it to chance. So whatever happens, happens. No. You know, influence it to come out for your good. Praise the Lord. So that's what we're going to do. And that's how you build up your defense systems. There's the devil is always waiting in the wings to cause some havoc. Jesus said it himself in John chapter 10, verse 10. So the devil comes, you know, for no other reason but for to kill, to steal, and to destroy. That's, you know, so if you already are aware of that, then you got to do something about it. You got to pray against the evil. You know, sometimes we get into accidents during the day. Well, maybe we should pray some more against the evil. Sometimes we hear some bad news. Maybe we should pray some more against those bad news. Sometimes we suddenly, something just happens in our body. The body just collapses or something. Well, maybe we should pray some more about that. And also do some things too, not just prayer. You know, do all the defense systems that are needed. Build up those defense systems that are needed. If you are a parent and you have children, whether they are young or grown, well, you have responsibility. Pray for those children. Keep them in the hands of the Lord. even if you can't be there with them, you know, you can't watch over those children 24/7, but there's somebody who can, you know, even if they live with you in the same house, you can't watch over them 24/7. There's times when you're going to go to work and there's times when they will go to school, you know, but you can build up your confidence by committing these children in prayer to the hands of the Lord every day. Even if you don't, even if they're far away from you, they live away in a different city, in a different country, doesn't matter. You know, your prayer can cover them. So there's prayer covering as well. We can use prayer to cover ourselves. We can use prayer to cover our loved ones, cover your children, cover your spouse, cover everything that you're doing through prayer. And that's what we're going to do today. I just wanted to give this short exhortation. And it is powerful when we know how to use it to our advantage. In Ephesians chapter 6, Paul was writing about all the various things that we can use to build up some defense systems, you know, armor and those kind of things. Those are defense systems too. If you are going into battle in hand-to-hand combat, well, it's good for you to be protected with some armor. Put on some shield, a helmet, put on some breastplate, you know, have some, you know, all these things that can protect different parts of your body. You know, so that's a defense. Those are defense systems as well. Well, you know, there is one thing that, you know, Paul talked about there as part of that defense system. It's also prayer. In verse 18 of Ephesians chapter 6, he talked about the prayer. You know, it talked about many things, but prayer is one of them. Because Paul was probably in prison looking at those Roman soldiers as they suited up to see what they were doing. How they put on their helmet and these things and got on, took their sword and took their shield and everything like that. Well, so he was writing about it too. You do the same. You know, but prayer. You know, praying always with all prayer, he said, and supplication in the spirit and watching thereunto. You know, watchmen on the wall. That's who we are. And you pray. Now, some people, you know, say they are prayer warriors. Other people say there are some prayer warriors. And we tout some people as though they were prayer warriors and others are not. No, all of us. Now, there are intercessors. But all of us must be prayer warriors because we use prayer to fight our battles. That's what makes us a prayer warrior. You know, and praying with all prayer, always, and supplication in the spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. That's a prayer warrior. And that's a commandment written for all of us. So, today I'm going to call out a few prayer points. I must pray. But especially for the things ahead. Yeah. Now, this day started out to be a day of joy. Let's keep it that way. That's right. You know, it's kind of like in the beginning of the day, God hands you this book and turns a new page and it's blank. Now, it's not really blank. But God can see something there that you can't see. But when you are looking at it, it looks blank. But God already saw it. But to you, it's blank because you can't see it. Now, Holy Ghost may show you some part of it. Never the whole thing. You know, Holy Ghost always shows us. We know in part, you know, we prophesy in part. You know, we see through a glass darkly. The Holy Ghost will show you parts. You can't know everything. Otherwise, you'd be God. You know, but John 16:13 tells us the Holy Spirit can show us things to come. Yeah? When you're looking at that blank page, Holy Ghost already knows. But the Lord is waiting to see what you are going to write on that blank page. What are you going to do? What are you going to declare for the day? Well, if you say, well, I'm just going to go throughout this day, you know, whatever happens, happens. Well, okay, fine. But God also said, what things you declare in my ears, same I will do unto you. Numbers 14 and 28. That's not only for negative things. He said, as you have spoken in my ears. It's not only for negative. It's also for positive. You speak in his ears. You command the day. You know? And then, you know, the Lord said, yeah, and that's it. So he's waiting for you to write something. So he has handed you a book. What you're going to write? You know, every day you have a new page that you can write something on. Every single day. And moreover, here's something that you should know. The Lord held a council with some of his angels. Now, many of us don't know that. Well, he did. We read a story in 1 Kings 22 where the Lord held a council. I said, well, who's going to go down there and persuade Ahab to go and fall at Ramon Gilead? Well, we see that. That was a negative thing, but the positive side is there as well. So the Lord held a council. And so that's what he was telling Job. Where were you when I held this council? You know, sons of God, you know, morning stars, and also for, where were you? I held a council with the angels, especially the ones that were gifted with special strength. They're called angels that excel in strength. And the Lord gave them charge. Said, look, and these are the ordinances of heaven. This is how things work. Nothing happens in heaven without an unction from God. From the throne. And so, but he gave this years ago, you know, because his throne was forever, you know, settled. I mean, it was there forever. He has established that throne in the heavens. So, God had his angels, the strong ones, and he gave them charge. He said, you know, these, my children, so your charge over them. Now, these angels are ministering spirits. Minister on our behalf. That's what they do. So God gave them charge. He said, look, you know, such and such and such and such. You know. But you see, God, being God, he has principles and there are ordinances in heaven. And God says to the angels, look, I need to teach this, my children, to use my word. So you don't do anything. I know you can, but you don't. Until they speak my word. Now, when they declare my word, though, you go down there and see to it. They can hear. They are in a vantage point where they can hear. And they'll say, you'll be listening and you'll be watching. Now, you don't do anything. You know, that, the same thing with God. God doesn't, look, even though God can, he won't do anything if we don't pray. You know, he can do it, but he won't do it. You know, if we don't pray. And, you know, God engages with us like that. Even when God says, you know, it's time for revival. God says it, then he stirs that up in the heart of somebody. And then people begin to pray. That's how things work. Everything starts from God first. Then God brings an awareness to somebody. And then they begin to pray for the things that God already wanted to do in the first place. And that's how things work. So God already wants to do us some good today. You know, the devil wants to do you evil. Well, the two forces are there. But God hands you a book and say, well, you write what you want this day to be. And he tells his angels, you'll be watching. When they declare my word, don't do anything until they speak my word. But once they speak my word, then go see to it. He said, come on now, were you there when he was speaking to the angels? How do you know all these things? Well, I was not there, but the scripture declares it. In Psalm 103 verse 20, in that short verse, is contained all these things I just said. Because he said, you know, praise ye the Lord, ye his angels that excel in strength. So that's a category of angels, you know, that do his commandments. What commandment? Well, Hebrews chapter 1 tells us they are ministering spirits sent forth to minister on behalf of the heirs of salvation. So that's the commandment. But how do they do it? That do his commandments, hearkening to the voice of his word. What? Which word? The Lord already gave the word in the heavens, you know, and waiting for people to publish it. Psalm 68 verse 11, you know, tells us that, look, there's a way that things happen. You know, in the realm of the spirit, you have to understand that. That's how things work. God says something, and, you know, he inspires somebody to believe that thing and to say it, you know, and then that's how the thing gets established. The Lord gave the word, and great is the company that publish it. Well, so these angels, hearkening to the voice of his word. Whose word? God's word. But from where? Your mouth. That's it. So, you know, and the Lord showed me a parable about this one time in the spirit. He was instructing me. And, you know, and sometimes you just wonder why some angels are very active, going back and forth, appearing to do something. But then you see some others that are just hanging around. Their hands are folded. It's like they're bored. And looking like, why are these ones up and down like this, moving like lightning and so forth? Why are these other ones look like they're bored? I said, well, they are bored because, you know, the people they've been assigned to watch over are not speaking God's word. And so they have nothing to do. Their trigger is when they hear that word. They do his commandments when they hack it. They're listening. Now, when you begin to declare God's word in confidence, those angels will see to it. But until you do, you look at the angels standing in the corner and say, one of these angels say, hey, why are you standing there? Do something. I said, no, I have my orders. Well, I said, what do you mean I have my orders? Well, I have my orders. And he just keeps saying that. You can't get him to do anything. He said, well, look at those that are, you know, doing something. What about you? You do something. He said, no, I have my orders. And his orders were very simple. The Lord said, you know, when you see him or her declaring my word and standing by it, then you go down there and see to it and make it happen. That's right. I said, oh, those are your orders? Yeah. Those are his orders. So he's not going to do anything. Now, you can't command the angels directly, but you can speak God's word. When you speak God's word, that's all they need to hear. If you try to tell them to do something, they will not go against God's orders. God's orders is, you wait until they declare my word. But when you hear them declare, that's it. So when God hands you a book with a new page on the new day, what are you going to do in the womb of the morning? What are you going to do? And declare some glorious things, which I already spoken against about you. You declare the same. And you pray against the evil. Jesus said there's a lot of evil every day, you know, so... You are the one that's going to have to cause a shift. He said, sufficient unto today is the evil thereof. Why are you worrying about tomorrow? There's enough evil today for you to worry about. So Jesus himself acknowledged that there's a lot of evil every day. He said, well, plenty of evil today. Why are you worrying about tomorrow? Take care of the one today. You know, deal with it in the spirit. Not by fretting, not by running up and down. But we deal with it in the spirit realm. Praise the Lord. The things that are moving upon the earth are controlled by the ordinances of heaven. Spiritual darkness. They understand this. That's why we're called spiritual wickedness in high places. They understand. They understand how to try to control people from the heavenlies. That's different heavenlies. They are in their realm, trying to control things upon the earth from that place. Well, we are in a higher realm, high above principalities and power. But because we don't know what we have, the devil likes to pull the wool over our ears, or I mean eyes rather, because we don't know what we have. And so the devil, he thrives when there's lack of knowledge, you know, because people don't know who they are, you know, so they don't know what they can do. Joshua knew it. So I was able to do it. Well, do you know who you are in Christ? Can you command the morning? Have you commanded the morning since your days? Can you do it? Well, let's do it. Now, whether you are in the afternoon or not, it's okay. They still command it. But tomorrow morning, command it. You know, in your morning, command that day to be subject to you. And all the things evil that will happen that day, you know, this is how spiritual wickedness works. People are driving, going down their merry way. All of a sudden, they have a tire blowout. You know, boom! Tire does, but that's a spiritual wickedness. You know, and they swerve and they get out of their car, gets out of the car, they slam into somebody, and somebody slams into somebody else, and so, and then all of a sudden, 5-car, 6-car, 8-car pileup of accident. Spiritual wickedness. Spiritual wickedness also try to operate in, you know, even in natural realms, because they know. They see the traffic lights are working fine. Spiritual wickedness goes in there and tampers with it. You know, and then there's a spiritual wickedness that tampers with the minds of the people as well. Yeah, drunken drivers and different things that run through the red light. Those are all spiritual wickedness that are behind those forces that do all these things. You know, sudden illnesses, sicknesses, diseases that suddenly come upon people. Those are spiritual wickedness. You know, and those are arrows, and the devil knows how to throw those arrows and shoot those arrows. Well, we're going to use the shield of faith. We're going to build our munitions of rocks. We're going to, you know, be prepared, you know, and pray against and above all these things and so on and so forth. You know, there's always evil out there. When people are pregnant, that's a scripture we saw in Revelation chapter 12. Of spiritual wickedness. A dragon is waiting to swallow that baby. He doesn't want it to happen. You know, I'm going to swallow that pregnancy. I'm going to prevent it from happening. And if it happens when the child is born, I'm going to swallow it up. I mean, spiritual wickedness. In high place, always plotting evil. Well, what should you do then? Well, if you foresee the evil, then you pray against it to hide yourself and hide your family and hide the brethren. That's right. He said, concerning my son. So it's not, when we pray this kind of prayer, it's not just for you and your husband and your children only. Concerning my sons. That's what he says in Isaiah 45 and verse 11. You pray this prayer for yourself. You pray for your children, your household, and you pray it for the household of faith. You do it. And God will hearken. The Bible says God hearkened to the voice of Joshua like he had never hearkened. Well, because Joshua was ready to step out in faith, take God at his word, and do exactly what God said. Command he me concerning the works of my hands, and he did it. Spoke to the sun, spoke to the moon. Let's speak to the morning today. Let's speak to the rest of the day as well. Yeah, every day, as long as the Lord brings this into your memory, this moment you remember it, stop and speak to the rest of the day. Sometimes we are such in a hurry, you forget to do this, but that's okay. So the Holy Spirit will remind you wherever you are at any part of the day. You know, right now it may be 2 p.m. where you are. It doesn't matter. You know, you stop, speak to the rest of the day. But Jesus said this day was made for man and not the other way around. This day must be subject. Glory to God. And you stand upon your watch. You stand in the Bible says, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. You know, Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10. Put on the whole armor of God and all these things. God doesn't want you to be weak and ping pong for the devil to slap you around. No, quick to you like man. Be strong in the Lord. The power of his might. So, that's how you build up your spiritual capacity. You know, that's how we build up our spiritual defenses. We use the word of God too. You find what God has said in his word. You use that word. You know the angels are listening. You use that word because the Lord said, you know, there shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come near my dwelling. You use that word. You begin to declare that word. If evil comes, you say no. Praise God. And you begin to declare that word. You have to use that word to encourage yourself. Jesus did the same thing. You know, after some point in time when he saw that his, you know, the time was getting near for him to go to the cross, he began to declare. destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it again. And he had to be declaring it, you know, as the day was getting closer, he was declaring, you know, psyching himself up, declaring the word of God. I'm coming out of that grave. That's how you do it. You know, and he was declaring it, using the word of God, declared ahead of time what he believed in his heart was going to happen and what he knew was going to happen. So we must do the same thing. Use the word of God to order your day. Praise the Lord. So that's the exhortation for today. And I'm going to pray first, and then we're going to go into some prayers. Hallelujah. And we are going to pray. That's evil. Evil is waiting right around the corner. You know, evil is trying to get into your house. Well, you got to close the door. Close the gates. Don't let it come in. When you open the door and step out, evil is waiting to strike. You know, it's like, you know, these vipers, they're coiled up. You know, they're waiting to strike. Ecclesiastes chapter 10 verse 8 says, they're waiting, looking for a place to strike. And if they see an opening, well, he that breaks the hedge, a serpent will strike. So we got to close those openings. And you do it by prayer. You say, Lord, there might be an opening, there may be a crack somewhere. I don't know. But you can know. I mean, you know and you can see it. So I'm going to pray about it. You pray with your understanding for the things you know. You pray with the spirit for the things you don't know. You know, and pray these things. Speak in tongues. Yeah? Tongues of fire. That's right. You know, you do it 5 minutes, 10 minutes, 15 minutes a day. You learn how to do it. You know, power. Things begin to come at your steps. Fall in line. Praise God. The battle is strong, you know, and the battle is not for the weak. Battle is for the strong. Now, the battle will not go to those who are strong in the power of the might of arm or the arm of flesh, but it will go to the strong in the Lord. That's right. Whereas the scripture says the battle is not for the strong, the race is not for the swift. Well, those are those who are doing it in the flesh. Well, the battle is indeed to those who are strong in the Lord. And the race is indeed to those who are running in the spirit. That's right. So that's what we're going to do. So let me pray, and then we're going to go into corporate fire prayer or prayer fire together today. Father, I thank you for your word. Your word is like a fire in my bones, Jeremiah said. It's like a hammer that can break things down. Glory to God. And this word is in our mouth. Bible says you don't have to go to heaven to bring it down. It's already in your mouth. The word of faith which we speak. Glory to God. It's in our mouth. Now, today, Lord, concerning your sons that are in this room, all sons of God. Son there is, you know, offspring is what it means. Doesn't matter whether male or female. Yeah, offspring of the Lord. Now, Lord, I pray for all your children that are in this house, the sons that are in this house. Because you said, concerning my sons, ask me of things to come. Lord, I ask of glorious things concerning everybody that's here. That which you have spoken in the scripture, say glorious things are spoken of you. Even for their children, Lord, for our children. Bible says your children shall be delivered. The seed of the righteous shall be delivered. It's glorious things that have been spoken. Are we content? Them that contended with you. Well, you know, even we ourselves can contend. We ourselves can contend for the faith that was once delivered unto us. We can contend for things in prayer. God will contend for us, but we can contend too. Praise God. The fervent effectual prayer of a righteous man availeth much. I pray that we put on our prayer girdle this morning. Who among us can enter in and dwell with that devouring fire? Well, he that walketh uprightly. Are you walking uprightly? Can you command the morning? Can you speak glorious things that God already spoke about you? And can you put your faith where your mouth is at? Oh, that's right. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. I pray, Lord, even now, Holy Ghost fire come into every heart. Inspire us to a life of prayer. Beginning here this morning, powerful prayers will bring down the forces of darkness. That every place that Satan is lodging, sitting pretty, saying, well, I sit as a queen, I sit pretty and so forth. We dislodge them in Jesus' name. Dislodge all those satanic altars. Glory to God. Call down fire of the Holy Ghost upon every satanic altar that brings wickedness against the people of God. Lord, safeguard your people, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you because the angels are ready. Your people are also ready and willing in the day of your power. We will speak word and the angels will go into operation. We know it. We are assured. Blessed be the name of the Lord. We give you, Lord, the praise and give you, Lord, the glory. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.